scripture reading tonight will be Acts 8, 10 to 13. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done.
This past week, I read a sad statement from the pen of a well-known preacher. I'm assuming he talked from personal experience. He said there are preachers who deplete their supply of sermons, and once they have preached everything that they have prepared over a number of years, they feel compelled to resign, go elsewhere, and start to preach again. I don't know that I know anybody of that type, but apparently he does. And as I read that statement, I thought back to the time when I first started to preach. There was a man, 70 plus at the time, he's now deceased, who said to me, and he was talking in general terms, at least I hope that he was, he said, "A preacher, Brad, should never run out of material. Instead of asking, is there anything to preach, what will you preach?" And I remember that for a number of years, and I have found that to be true. Yesterday, I was one of the speakers at the lectures in Columbia City, and my assigned topic was how to study the Bible. At least that was part of the topic. I tried to share with those folks some of the techniques that I use on a regular basis, and tonight, one of the techniques that is used from time to time will be employed once again. Mitch read for us Acts chapter 8, verses 10 through 13, and we probably have read that account because of the people who are here tonight dozens of times. Tonight, we want to dig a little deeper into the account, specifically verse 13. After Simon became a Christian, the Bible says he continued with Philip, and that is a key word for tonight's lesson. We take the word continue to mean a lot of things. We may continue to receive email on our computer, but we may not read all the messages. Continue may also be used in the sense of close attention. If you've ever had a surgical procedure and there was an anesthesiologist in the room, you probably hope that that fellow or that lady paid continual attention to how much you were getting. That's important to us, to have that monitored. Luke used a word, though, that has a very definite and a very important meaning. And before we see how it's used in the scriptures, I want to share with you a little information how it's used by non-Christians. Lawsuits have been going on for a long time. Courts have existed for several years. And the word that is translated continued in Acts 8:13 was used by non-Christians in regards to ancient court systems. Both the plaintiff and the defendant continued, same word, until the case was settled. That is, there was a determined persistence to see the process through until a judge decided the matter. There was a refusal to let go of the case. One source says this word can describe waiting without lapse. That is, we continue to wait, we continue to endure. Furthermore, the term, he says, has the nuance of stubbornness. That is, a kind of persistence, a kind of tenacity, a refusal to let go. He also cited a place where this word was used with respect to the military. One ancient writing associates this word with soldiers holding fast. It would be like soldiers who are fighting for a hill, or soldiers who are trying to reach a particular place. They're not going to give in. They're not going to backtrack. They're not going to lay down their arms and surrender, but they're going to hold fast. One of the movies being shown right now is The Alamo. And not everyone, of course, at The Alamo chose to stay and fight at this location, but according to history, many did. Those people stayed, they fought, and they died. They held fast. They continued. That's the sense of Acts 8, verse 13. So when we see this word continued in Acts 8:13, two good definitions for it would be faithful attachment, or we might say tireless devotion. So when you see that word continued in Acts 8:13, Simon was so close to Philip, it was like he was stuck to him. In addition to using this word, Luke also used the present tense. So it wasn't that Simon said, "Well, let me come over and see you next week." Oh, no. This was ongoing. It was day after day, day in and day out. Now, Simon, if you look at the text, you find that he had some problems. He was a man who had some serious problems that needed to be fixed, but he made a decision to continuously put himself in the presence of a faithful Christian who was trying to do God's will. And from what I can tell, God was pleased by this choice. Even though Simon was spiritually immature, and there were some things that he had to learn, His decision was commendable. Now, if you were here last Wednesday night, you heard one of our members give an invitation. He talked about a place where Christians had gathered together for worship. Hooded men came in and brandished machine guns. And after an exchange of words, all but two worshipers fled. The men took off their hoods and laid down their guns and said, "All the hypocrites are gone. Let's worship." That's sticking power. You might say, well, those fellows didn't have much sense. That could be true, but I'm persuaded that in that illustration, it was commitment. Some might wonder if Simon stayed close to Philip because of the miracles, and that was it. No, because when we look at the New Testament, we find that Christians in the first century clung to fellow Christians. Without additional information, we might not know that, but we do have additional information to prove that point. And one of the places where we find this information is in the second chapter of Acts. And the balance of tonight's material is going to come from about Acts 2, verse 42. Excuse me, on the day of Pentecost, about 3,000 people became Christians. And after these people became Christians, God tells us that they did some things. In Acts 2:42, we have a description of what was done. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and teaching and fellowship and in the breaking of bread. New Christians continued steadfastly in a wide variety of practices. Now, here's the interesting thing. That word that is translated continued in Acts 8:13 is the same word that is rendered continued steadfastly in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It is the identical term. So Simon was not the only Christian who was glued to the people of God. By comparing Acts 2 and Acts 8, we find some things about first century Christianity. First of all, we discover that the people of God were close to each other. Christians, essentially, as they looked at their brethren, thought that they were joined at the hip with one another. In life, of course, there are some people that we may not want to be closely attached to. My sister called me the other day, and she said, "I want to know if you have some ideas." She said, "We have a new neighbor, and he is a scary man. He keeps some odd hours. When we come in, he's sitting there in his car waiting for us and watching us." She's married. And whether she's with her husband or with the kids or by herself, he just sits out there and appears at her until she or the family goes into the house. She said, "We've heard some strange sounds over there at his house. There's a chopping noise. Sounds like he's chopping stuff up. But we go outside and we don't see anything being chopped." She's tried to introduce herself, but the man is very evasive and starts mumbling. His clothing is odd, and she said everything about him is strange and scary. And they don't want to be close to that man. They certainly do not want to have that fella as their next-door neighbor. All around us, we find people that we may not be real comfortable with, people who make us a little uneasy. But there is a single word in the New Testament, this word in Acts 2:42 and Acts 8:13, which says, in the church built by Christ, things are to be different. If we're going to be a New Testament Christian, we need to continue steadfastly with the people of God. Some of our nearest and dearest and best friends should be children of God. Is that not right? Do we not expect to spend eternity with these folks? If that is our hope, that is our plan, then certainly there should be close association in this life. Christians in the first century were people who clung one to another, Acts 2:42. But we find that closeness to each other was not the only thing that they were super glued to. Notice as well, Acts 2:42, as it describes continuing steadfastly, this refusal to let go of something, that they were not only committed with regard to fellowship, but they also had that same attitude when it came to the apostles' doctrine. Folks that I see today, Bible-believing people are often wishy-washy. That is, whatever you want to believe, whatever doctrine you want to have or rely on, it's okay. As long as we believe in Jesus, doctrine doesn't matter. That is a common cry. God's people didn't believe that. And certainly the apostles did not teach that. There were instructions given by God. God's people knew that that information existed, and they attached themselves to it. It was like they had superglued themselves to the Word of God. This is what we're going to cling to, and we will not let go. There was strict adherence to the information from God. Think again about the sense of the word that has been described tonight. Faithful attachment and tireless devotion. Here's a question. On the day of judgment, if God were to issue two sentences to the people who stand before him, which one would we want to hear? Number one, you were tirelessly devoted to the Word of God. Or, number two, you paid some attention, or you paid attention to part of what I said. I know which one I'd want to hear. I know which one the first century Christians wanted to hear, and how they lived was tirelessly being devoted to the Word of God. Being a Christian means a total and whole commitment to the Scriptures. Well, the study of Acts 2 shows that the Christians were also unbending in their fellowship. If we want a test of how God sees us, of what our Christian faith is like, here it is. How fully do we fellowship the people of God? And that's probably the wrong question to ask on a Sunday night. But do we see the people of God a few times a year, once a month, or do we see them throughout a week? Throughout the week. God used a word which describes regular fellowship or ongoing contact. Earlier I said our word can also be understood as having a nuance, that is, a degree of stubbornness. As Christians, we should be stubborn when it comes to being involved with the fellowship of God's people. At some time in our life, there's probably going to come a time when we will face some obstacles in regard to fellowship. There are going to be periods when we do not feel, or perhaps we do not have a good state of health and we have some difficulty when it comes to being with the people of God or being anywhere else. Sometimes our state of health is such that we need to stay home. People sometimes call me and say, well, hey, I've got a communicable disease. They don't word it quite like that, but that's what they're saying. Stay home. That's what I tell them. You recover from that. Don't come and contaminate. Don't come and infect 100 people. And there are other times when people call me and they say, well, I've got a particular health condition. Wisdom and good judgment says that we should wait for a better time and come after we get over whatever the difficulty is. But in other situations, in other circumstances, our afflictions are relatively light. For example, consider a person who is having some difficulty and they're on crutches. This person can move. This person can get along. Certainly not as good as what their life was like without the crutches, but they are able to function. Will that person be stubborn and continue in his or her fellowship with the saints, or decide to stay home? That question may come to each one of us at some point in our life. And an answer, a passage that helps us with that kind of question, is Acts 2:42. These people, when it came to fellowship, they were stubborn about it. That was something that they wanted to do. They refused to put that off unless there was a good reason not to assemble with the people of God. They're not here tonight, so I'm going to use the Craddocks for an illustration. If you sit towards the back, you will notice that they leave about 5 minutes before the morning service ends. And there's a reason for that. They need to do that because of their health, because of the circumstances. Now, they could say, we're 80-plus years old. We have some difficulties when it comes to movement. You know, driving is something that we need to pay attention to because we have some special circumstances there as well. And since we can't stay for the entire service, since we can't be there for the whole hour, we're going to simply decide not to come. They've not made that choice. They apparently understand the kind of commitment that's described in the Bible, that kind of stubborn commitment to fellowship, and they work on doing what they can. Do they have some limitations? Yes. They recognize those, but they work around them the best that they can. They have made a persistent choice to fellowship the people of God. As we look at Acts 2, we find another point tied in with that same term that is used in Acts 8, verse 13. The first century Christians broke bread. Now, in the Greek text, there are two definite articles. It is the breaking of the bread. And when it is worded in that way, that begins to point to something other than supper. Verse 46 refers to breaking as bread, as breaking of bread as well, but if you look down there, there are no definite articles used in the original text. So the definite articles, the breaking of the bread, plus the other activities that we have described in verse 42, that is the apostles teaching, the fellowship, and so forth, that seems to be a pretty strong indication of communion. And if that is the right explanation for the text, and I maintain that it is, notice what is being said. Christians were involved in the Lord's Supper, and they were doing that steadfastly. That is, it was something that they had a regular commitment to. It was something that was ongoing. It was a regular part of life. There was an unbending and unflinching commitment. It was unrelenting when it came time to have this part of the service to God. This attitude towards the Lord's Supper was identical to the attitude that they had towards fellowship. So again, we see regular commitment towards the supper in Acts 2, verse 42. And that needs to be the kind of commitment that we have in the churches of Christ today, to observe the Lord's Supper on a regular basis the first day of the week. That needs to be a determined persistence and a refusal to let a week go by without it. Simon certainly would not have continued with Philip in the sense that has been described tonight if he did it once a year, twice a year, or if he met with him once a month. He had to be with Philip on a regular and ongoing basis. And that's precisely what we have in the 42nd verse of Acts 2. One of the most visible qualities in a Christian's life is unbending commitment. And that's what's being described by this word. Consider, if you will, the Good Samaritan. Was he not a lot like Simon and the people in Acts chapter 2? If you think back to that story in Luke chapter 10, you will remember that the Good Samaritan came upon this man, found him, and made a commitment to care for him. He begins to tend to his wounds. And then after his wounds have been dealt with to some degree, he puts him upon his beast, upon his animal, takes him to an inn, and Luke is very precise in the 10th chapter by saying after they got to the inn, the Good Samaritan continued to care for this man. And then it was time for the Samaritan to leave, but he didn't drop this fella. He made arrangements with the innkeeper to ensure that this man was cared for beyond whatever he was able to do. And he said, look, I'm going to come back this way, and if there's anything else that needs to be paid in regard to this man's care, I will pay it. But make sure that he gets the care that he needs. So when we look at the word continued in Acts 8, verse 13, it's like that idea found in the Good Samaritan. We have really a kind of life which describes a fierce loyalty. And that's the kind of person that Christ is seeking. That's the kind of person that he wants in his kingdom. People who are intensely loyal to him and his word. I believe that the people who have come out tonight want that to be true in their lives. And if you've made that decision in the past, that is the right choice. To be fiercely loyal to Christ. And sometimes that is going to cost something. It's going to cost a great deal. It certainly cost those people in Acts chapter 2. With the Jews on their backs, more than likely some of them had some issues with family. It may have affected them as far as their job status. It may have cost some of them their jobs, but they had made the choice to have unbending loyal to Christ. There was that stubbornness to put Jesus first, no matter what else happened in life. And that's the kind of commitment that we need if we plan on going to heaven. Tonight, if you have not yet made that kind of choice, we can help you take the first steps to become a child of God. If you believe in Christ and you want to live according to his word, tonight you can confess Christ, and when you do that, you're making that kind of commitment to Christ, which is, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to turn my back. I will remain faithful to you until my dying day. And then the Bible says we're joined with Christ, Romans 6, verses 1 through 4, by being baptized into him. We're joined with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. If you've not taken those steps, tonight we can help you do that. If you have made that commitment to Christ in the past, but for some reason that glue, that bond has been broken, and you no longer have that dedication to Christ, and we can encourage you or help restore you to a right relationship with God this evening, will you not let us know as we stand and encourage you with a selected song?